Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. Eric Bilsett along with Michelle Richards. It happened Monday, the Supreme Court ruling that presidents are immune from criminal prosecution for official actions. So many questions. Now that this has come down, joining us now on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline on Wisconsin's Morning News is CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. Thane, let's start with the election interference case. What do we know, or what would we expect the special prosecution to do now as they wake up today and start to figure out how to move forward?
Well, Eric, they're going to try to get the Supreme Court to get that opinion out directly as soon as possible, procedurally, because they can't do anything until it's actually officially been delivered, in which case they're going to seek from the lower court, the district judge, Chetkin, to say, all right, well, the Supreme Court is saying we need additional factual findings to determine what actions President Trump took that could be official versus unofficial. The official acts are he's immune from criminal prosecution. The unofficial acts are not. So let's go through the indictment. They're going to have to redo the indictment for a lot of reasons, one of which is because there was a decision last week from the Supreme Court that said the charges on the obstruction of an official meeting requires also additional evidentiary findings because that law dealt with corporate malfeasance and not with political meetings. So it's probably the case that that charge has to be stripped from the indictment anyway. It doesn't really apply to President Trump. And the goal here, I guess, for Jack Smith is to try to convince the judge that since evidentiary hearings don't require a jury, let's just get them scheduled. Let's do it. Let's go and present evidence before the judge about what things Donald Trump did and to show that they really are not official acts in character, and therefore they can remain in the indictment, and then at that point try to schedule a trial. Now, there's no way you can actually schedule a trial between now and the election.
Right.
But I do think there's a chance that they can say, can we at least do the evidentiary hearings? Why? Well, because then the public will see the evidence that we think is criminal, and it will at least provide that kind of justice. We may not get to a trial, but at least let's have a public reckoning of the things that Donald Trump did that we believe were criminally indictable offenses.
How will it be determined what's an official act versus an unofficial act? Is it going to be cut and dry, or is it going to be kind of open to interpretation based on, you know, which side we're talking about?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, the Supreme Court gave them some guidelines. So, for instance, you know, they went beyond that what we thought they would do. It's not just that they sent it down and said the president has some qualified immunity. We just have to know whether these facts constitute official acts or and therefore are part of the immunity or whether or not. But the Supreme Court went beyond that. It said things like if the president is calling the Justice Department, even if he's talking about things that they can do to overturn the election, that's an official act. He's allowed to call his Justice Department. It's his job. They even hinted that the phone call he made to Vice President Pence, in which he was saying to him, I think we should pause the certification of the electoral votes, that might be an official act. And it also might include separation of powers because the president is essentially calling another member of the executive branch, his number two guy. On the other hand, there's an interesting legal argument. On the day that he was calling him to tell him not to certify the votes, remember, the vice president is the president of the Senate, right? He has two jobs, president of the Senate, and so he's in the executive branch when he's the vice president, and he's in the legislative branch when he's the president of the Senate. So that means that maybe there isn't a separation of powers issue. In other words, that he wasn't really calling his vice president. he was calling someone from another branch of the government. They hinted that even the speech that Donald Trump gave in the Ellipse on January 6th, up until now, we always assumed that the argument was that he had a First Amendment right to speak. But the court hinted that, no, it also was a presidential duty. It was an official act. 35,000 people showed up. They had problems with the election. He went out and talked to them. So, you know, the case may, some of these issues may be sent, returned to the Supreme Court for the very point that you're making, which is that how will we know? We can have factual findings, but given that some of the guidelines the Supreme Court laid out yesterday, they may need to be asked again whether is this an official act or is this, you know, the guy going rogue and doing things that have nothing to do with his public office.
CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum joining us on Wisconsin's Morning News. So what about the current president? What does this ruling do for the current president who sits in the White House right now as far as the opportunities, the quote-unquote immunity, the official acts that he potentially, to his discretion, could do?
Yeah, it's such an interesting point. You know, the Democrats yesterday all went nuts on the, you know, this is a blank check. This is a blank check. There's no restrictions on presidential misconduct. But what they didn't think of, well, wait a minute, you know, protect your guy, right? When he leaves office, you know, some of the things that Republicans have been saying, well, we're just going to use the Justice Department as a weapon as well. You know, this also creates the presumption that things that Joe Biden did while in office, many of those things, if they look like official duties, are immune from any kind of a prosecution. In some ways, I think what Chief Justice Roberts was saying is, I'm looking at the field and I don't like what I see. What we see is the legal system being used to prosecute political enemies. And what he's saying, what the majority was saying, is you can't prosecute your political enemies for the job that they're doing while in office. And we're looking at this very liberally, giving the president a lot of leeway. And we're saying a lot of the things that he does or she does can qualify as official acts of duty within the scope of their employment, and those things are immune. And even if you think that there's some criminality attached to it, we want to give the president a maximum leverage to do this kind of stuff. You know, it goes back to the founding fathers. You know, there were people that thought that George Washington should be king. You know, when the Federalist Papers were being written, you know, they were debating, what do we call our titles? And Washington was so profoundly popular, there were people, especially Federalists, thought, well, he's king.
Right.
And so they decided, no, he should be president. And what I think what the Supreme Court kind of said yesterday is the president is not king, but he sort of is. And that's sort of one way to really look at this. He kind of is. We don't treat him just like anyone. He's not just like anyone. He has federal powers. There's, based on the principle of the supremacy clause, he's in a different category. And so therefore he may have to do things that in hindsight don't look right, but you want to give him the flexibility to do what he needs to do to get the job done without worrying that he's going to be prosecuted for it later.
Kinda and sort of is. Thane Rosenbaum.
Yeah.
No, I get it. CBS legal analyst, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you.
One other thing we should point out, too, is that the hush money conviction from May is now going to be challenged in some form. Trump's attorneys are already starting to dig into that a little bit about some of the evidence that may have been used and whatnot in that case. The sentencing for that is next week. That's next Thursday. And, of course, a couple of days after that is the RNC in Milwaukee. So lots is going to happen here in the next few days as they tackle that situation to see if they can get that conviction or at least get that sentencing postponed. We'll see if they have any success there. Didn't have time for Thane to get into that. But among the many items that now have been opened in Pandora's box has now been lifted, and there's not even a box anymore. I'd be very curious to see how the next few weeks go.